Well, good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing this morning?
Excellent.
I want to start off by saying real quick just thanking my dad for letting me speak this morning and emphasizing that he has not just been a small part of my life, but a big part of my life. And I'm very grateful to have my parents and just my family in general. They have been amazing. So I'm going to start off talking a little bit about Young Life. I'm involved in Young Life, but the real reason I'm up here today was, it was about a month ago, I was in this service, or in this church, and I really felt the Holy Spirit just come upon me, and I was taking notes of what my dad was preaching about that day, and all of a sudden, I just started writing down a ton of different notes about this church, and just like ways that I thought, not that we can improve, but just be better as a church, and how the church should act, and just like a big message for this church in general. And I wanted to be obedient to the Lord in that, and I knew that if I shared it with my dad, like, yeah, that's great, he could come up and share that, but I really felt like it needed to come from somebody else besides him, and I really felt that the Lord placed it on my heart to do that. So that's the big reason why I am up here today. But I'm going to talk about Young Life, and I'll lead into what I have to share. So I am part of a Christian organization called Young Life. So what Young Life does is basically we introduce kids to Jesus and help them grow in faith after they meet Jesus. So there's a few different aspects that we have. I'll talk about a few of them. What we have is club is the first one I'm going to talk about. So club is like, they describe it as organized chaos, basically. So it's just where you have a bunch of high school kids come together. They play games, we sing, we do karaoke, and we play like the craziest games. Like one club we have donut club, where leaders will attach donuts to the ceiling. You have to jump and grab the donuts with your mouth. Like it's impossible. And it's just these crazy things that kids do. And so that's really what club is about. Campaigners is more of like an in-depth club. Oh, I'm sorry. So with club, there's also a club talk. So during the club talk, one of the leaders will get up and share basically a personal story about their life, and they'll connect that back to a story in the Bible or like a characteristic of what Jesus was like. And so that's like the big point of club, is getting kids to listen to that club talk and just hear about Jesus in any way possible. Then we have campaigners. So campaigners is basically more of a Bible study. And so it's more in-depth. There's not like games or karaoke or anything. We all come together and we'll have a quick lesson which the leader comes up with. And it's all about just different things like person of Christ. We have a club talk about that, club talk about sin, a club talk about the resurrection, just what God has done for these kids. Next is probably the most important part of what Young Life does, and that's contact work. So contact work, what I love about contact work is kids aren't coming to like leaders. Leaders are people who go and just minister to the kids and like set up all these events. But it's not that kids are coming to us, but leaders go to them. So as a leader, I lead, I'll talk about that in a second, but I lead. And so as a leader, I go to the school I lead at and I talk to these kids. Like I hang out with them. I develop relationships with them. And like that is my goal as doing contact work, is develop relationships with them in order so that I can share Christ with them and hopefully see them grow in their faith, which is just so far has been an amazing experience, and I'm extremely excited to just continue that on in the future. But another thing I love about Young Life is everything is intentional. From the games we play in club, to the songs we sing, to the Bible studies we have, everything leads to Christ. And everything is for a reason. And that is one thing that I really realized, and it's awesome to see. So real quick, how I originally got involved. I got involved my freshman year of high school. One of my friends just called me up. He's like, hey, you want to go to this thing called club? And I was like, I don't know what that is, but sure, why not? So I went, and it was the most amazing time of my life. Like, it was literally organized chaos. I think it was the donut club was the first one I went to. And it was awesome. And I was like, I really want to do this. So after that, I became a lot more involved. I asked my friend to come pick me up every day for club. And then I became a campaigner and did Bible studies. And eventually, I actually went into what they call discipleship. So one of the leaders, I got really close with a few leaders. And I actually went and met with him once a week at Starbucks before school. And we went through John together, which was just, I mean, an amazing experience. And just able to connect to people that are older than you is just awesome. So that was my experience in high school. I now lead at college. I lead at a place called the Covenant School. It is a private Christian high school, so it's a little different than your normal public school. It presents a lot of different challenges because, I mean, the kids are very knowledgeable in what they know about, like, the Bible, because they have Bible class every day. They have chapel every week. So it's just, like, a different way you have to reach them. And so that has been a really unique and, like, so far difficult, but definitely I know will get easier experience, and I'm extremely excited to continue that. Another thing that Young Life does, is the last thing I'll share about, is we have a thing called camp. It's summer camp. So I have a quick promo video. It's the Saranac Village video, if you guys could play that, and I'll explain more after the video is played. That is the Young Life camp called Saranac Village. The way we sell that to kids is you will have the greatest week of your life here. I do not feel bad saying that to kids because I 100% believe it. I was a camper once and I had the greatest time and greatest week of my life. So that is another big thing that Young Life does. And that's what leaders try to accomplish is get kids to sign up to camp so they can better hear the gospel because they present it so well during camp. So I had the opportunity to do summer staff. I went to that camp that you just saw right there, and I volunteered my time for a month, and I was there over this summer, and it was an amazing experience. I cannot begin to describe how just blessed I was that I got to go and do that and how much I grew in my faith and just grew so much. It was just an incredible experience. One thing I want to share, we had 300-plus kids come and know the Lord from 4 weeks of me volunteering my time. And that's just like something you just don't hear a lot every day, I feel like, to have so many kids just meet Christ in such a short amount of time is absolutely amazing. And not to mention that almost quadruple of those kids, so 1,200 kids heard the gospel. And so at least they like got to know, like, we planted a seed in their life and they're able to go and just think about that and process it and go back with their leaders who also come with them on the camp trip and just hear what the Lord did for them. And that's just so amazing. One verse that Young Life goes by that is big is Matthew 10:45. It says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So that was a big motto that we had over summer staff, and that was just an amazing thing. I wish Mr. Gene was here, but I think it was not this past Sunday because he wasn't here, but 2 Sundays ago, I was talking to him about it, and he said that, and that's basically what you're doing is being about the Father's business. I was like, wow, you know, that's such a great connection, because that is what one of the things my dad has been preaching about for I don't know how long now. And it's so cool to see, like, that's how the Lord is working in my life of being about the Father's business is through Young Life and, for example, going and volunteering my time for a month. And also, I just thought of this. It's also basically aligning myself with my assignment and my time in my life during this time. So at this time, I believe the Lord has called me to be a Young Life leader. And so I'm aligning myself with that assignment. I'm going to there not only to just grow my relationship with Christ, but to learn more about how Young Life operates in a way so that I can better communicate the gospel to kids when I go back to school. So to get into what I originally wanted to share today, a big thing, the first thing lesson that we learned at summer staff is that we are all coming together and working as a body. And all the parts are needed to operate as a, for the body. So if you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12, very familiar scripture. So I'm going to read a few verses out of here. But just keep in mind that the body, all parts of the body need to be united and working together in order for the body to fully function. I'm going to read verses 12 through 13 and also 21 through 26. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. So that's just explaining how the body is a unit, and all parts are needed to make up the body, and all parts are necessary for the body to fully function. Going down to verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So a big takeaway for me in that is not only were we acting as a body during summer staff, but I feel like that's how the church needs to operate, is as a body. We, as a church, as a body of Christ, need to be united together and be working together through all our different gifts that we have. And in order for one reason, in order for the kingdom to grow, is if we all operate in our gifts that we have. And also, just being equally concerned about, I want to emphasize verse 25, where it says, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. As a body, we should all be concerned for each other. We should be talking to others. We should be becoming more relational, more friendly, just asking people how they are, what they're doing. For example, I talked to Forrest this morning about how his knee surgery went. Like, that's the type of things that, as a body, we should be encouraging each other to do and just talk about and just encouraging Forrest, like, hey, my man was in the gym 5 or 6 days after he got out of his surgery. Like, that's awesome. That's Jesus working through him when he was supposed to be out for months. Like, and that's awesome to hear because it encourages me, but it also encourages him. And so that is just so important when you come to church and do. But so I'm going to backtrack a little bit. My message is laid out a little different, so I'm going to backtrack and slowly make my way to, like, the big point I want to make. So I'm going to start off with saying, or asking a question, is what is the purpose of the church? The big thing that I came down to, one big purpose, is Hebrews 10, 24 through 25, if you would like to turn there. I'm sure it'll be on the board, on the screen. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I mean, if that's not what the definition of what church should be like, I really don't know what is. Like, we are here coming together to serve each other and just to be with one another and uplift each other and encourage each other. Like, that's what the church is here for. That's what we come together for. I mean, yes, also we are here to listen to whoever's up here preaching, but and like learning more about Christ. But as you're doing that, we fellowship with one another and we just get to believe with each other. I mean, we're all fellow brother and sisters in Christ here. And so that's what we need to be doing. Another verse, Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. This is a goal of the church, is so that we can come together and we can just encourage one another and sharpen one another. And that's not only in the spiritual aspects of coming together, but just like life in general. For example, I went to the Christiansburg-Auburn football game or football scrimmage the other day. And let me tell you, if you want to see a star football running back, Kyle over there, he was juking out people left and right. I mean, it was awesome to see. And these are the types of things that we can go and just encourage people about. And another example, Carson. I don't think I've seen a guy hit harder than Carson did. And just the friendliness he had towards every time is so funny. Every time he hit a guy or run somebody over, he would always pick him up and then he'd slap him on the head. I was like, wow, that seems a little violent for me. But I mean, that's just how it was. That was good sportsmanship, and it was just awesome to see. Those are just examples of how we can encourage one another and build each other up. Another thing I wanted to say about church is that we should be excited to come to church. You should be waking up on Sunday just thanking the Lord that you get to come to church. You get to hear more about God. You get to come and fellowship with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and just hear how their weeks are going, how they have been. Like, you should be excited. I know, for example, I forget exactly when this was, but I was with my family and we were talking about church on Sunday, and my brother asked, he was like, hey mom, do you know who's doing youth on Sunday? And my mom was like, yeah, I think it's Miss Crystal. And Levi's face lit up. He was like, yes, I'm so excited. I mean, it was just amazing to see how excited he was to go and just get to listen to Miss and just listen to Miss Crystal speak and just do youth. And that's how we as a congregation should be coming into this service. I mean, it's how it should be. And I know some days it may be a long service. Some days it may be, oh, I've already heard this before. Like, oh, I feel very knowledgeable. But you have to realize that some people are probably learning something from that. Some people are learning something from that. Like, just because you may have heard it before or it may drag on a little bit, like, other people's lives are being changed because of them coming to service. So you have to just be respectful of that and just pray for them, honestly, that and thankful to the Lord that He is allowing whoever's up here to speak to the people's lives. I mean, that's another goal of the church. And just if it goes a little long, like 20 minutes extra, what are you going to do after you go leave church? You're going to go, you're going to get some lunch at Ruby Tuesdays. They got a nice salad bar. 20 minutes extra, 20 minutes out of your week extra just to sit down and like when you're leaving, just to sit down and fellowship and just talk to people. Like, that's all it takes is 20 minutes out of your week. That's like a fraction of the time. Another thing is the church needs to be more friendly and more relational. I've kind of spoken about that, but when new people come in, go introduce yourself to them. Say hi. Just if that's the least you can do, ask them, like, oh, you know, how have you been? Like, what's going on in your life? Just make your presence known. Make them feel loved. Because a verse in the Bible, a big thing I learned at summer staff is, I don't know if anybody has read Everybody Always by Bob Goff. Very good book. Highly recommend. But it talks about not only, like, expressing love, but becoming love. And a really big point I saw was a Bible verse literally states, God is love. I was like, you know, that's a great connection. How we're supposed to be more Christ-like, and it says God is love, so we are to become more like love. We are to become love. And that is one way that we can do that, is just by saying hi to oncoming people who are new faces here. Just going and just expressing your love towards them. And that is what God did. That is what Jesus did every day of his life. Talking more about that, one thing I feel like, I mean, everybody does this, it's not just like church or anybody, but when you ask the question, how is your week or how have you been, what are the typical responses? Anybody want to give me some? Yeah. Fine, good, well, I've been doing, yeah, great. Like, that's cool. I mean, yeah, I'm going to ask somebody that, and that's all they're going to give me. Like, let me backtrack. I went on a Young Life ski trip. It was a great ski trip. Went to Timberline, West Virginia. Highly recommend. Great slopes. But we had a guest speaker. The first thing he talked about was talking about this. When you go and ask somebody how they're doing, and they say that, like, where is that getting you? That's just simple conversation that doesn't really do much. What he said is you should really be asking these people how they truly are. And that, and for example, that means asking them how their week went by. Or like, so what, I'll say the example of Forrest again. Just continuing the conversation is like, yeah, I'm great. How are you? Yeah, I'm doing good. Well, how was your week? You know, what all happened? Is there anything that I can be praying for you about? Is there anything that, like, I mean, prayer requests and then, like, praise reports? Like, just, you have to encourage people in that and not just ask, how are you? Oh, yeah, I'm doing great. And then just walk away. You have to be more in-depth with your conversation, more intentional. For example, I know it hasn't started yet, but you can talk about, I believe, is it school guard program? Is how you say it? The school guard program. Operation School Guard. And that's starting up next week. Just ask people how that's going. Ask them, oh, have you been praying for your school? It's, yeah, like I heard this amazing thing happened. Or, yeah, but I'm in a little, like my school, this happened. And then you can be praying for that school as well. It's just like a continued domino effect. Everybody's going to be praying for every school after that. Like, that's how it should be. Let me move on. Another thing that I learned at Summer Staff was the power of prayer. Through Summer Staff and this book, which I'll read out of a little bit later, it's Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire by Jim Cimbala, I want to say is how you pronounce it. But I really did not understand the power of prayer until I went to Summer Staff. And boy, did I really see the power of prayer and just how important it is in our lives. One big thing for me was I was on landscape when I went to Summer Staff. So I did all your landscape things. I did some mulch. I weeded. I mowed. Just whatever needed to be done around there. So I had a lot of alone time, basically. And one big thing that the Lord helped me do was just always being, always praying and always having the Lord on my mind during that time. Like, I prayed. I was like, Lord, please guide my thoughts today so I can just continue to think about you. And, like, it doesn't matter, like, what vein it's in, like, Young Life or just, like, the church or just anything. Just help me keep my mind on you. And that was just an amazing experience to have. But I want to just emphasize the power of prayer. If you'll turn with me to James 5:16. This verse just, I believe, shows just how important it is. I want to say James 5:16. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So in this verse, not only does it say that we should be praying for each other so that you may be healed, that's just coming with being more relational and more friendly in the church and asking people how they're doing. But it also says that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Like, you don't realize how powerful and effective prayer is, and I mean, maybe, until you see it firsthand. I know me personally, I saw it firsthand and realized, like, it changed my life, how much prayer can affect you. Yeah, so not only is it powerful, but it is effective. And you can see things happen by praying. And that is one way that we get to commune to God, is by praying. And that is extremely important because we're called to have a relationship with Christ. And one aspect of that is praying continually and just praying about all things and staying in, rooted in your word, which I'll talk about in a second. But another quick verse about that is John 15:7. I'm just going to read that real quick. Says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Jesus is literally saying, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, then he will give us anything we wish. And no, you can pray for a new car. I mean, it doesn't mean you'll get a new car. But spiritually, we can have whatever we want. And that's just so, that's crazy when you think about it. Like, we can have what the Lord is saying. We can have whatever we want if we're just continually in prayer and asking him. And you need to be praying expectantly. I know my dad talked about this the other day. It was just a brief tidbit. But he said, not only do you need to be praying expectantly, but you need to always be expecting. And I feel like that's been a big theme here, is just to always, like, for example, coming to church expecting to hear something. Like, we need to always be expecting in that. I wish Miss Wanda was here, but I can tell you, if you aren't going to prayer classes and listening, I think Miss Wanda does it most of the time. Wanda and Mr. Kelvin, if you're not going to listen to these amazing people of Christ talk about prayer, you're really missing out. The few times I've went, I've learned so much about prayer. I've actually went back in my notebook and just read over those things that I learned, because that's how impactful it was, and that's how much you can learn from just coming to a classes. And again, all it takes, extra 2 hours out of your week to come and just listen to what they have to say. And you can really hear the power of prayer and how impactful it is and how to pray effectively and how to pray well. And so I want to thank you, Mr. Kelvin, for doing that, because it's amazing to see that. And I feel like if people aren't coming to that, you are not utilizing the resources you have here at the church. So I said I would talk a little bit about the Word. So not only do you need to be praying, but you also need to be reading your Word. And this is all coming to, or like stemming from my main point that I'll make in a second. But real quick, if you have pen and paper, I'd like you to write this down. If not, that's okay. You can just think about it. But it's just a question. My question is, what are things that are keeping you from the Word of God? And just take a second to write them down or think about them if you don't have pen or paper. I'll give you a second. I'll repeat it again. What are things that are keeping you from the Word of God? Okay, next, I have one more question. Next question is, this, just write it down underneath this. Where or how do you feel most connected to the Lord? So, I was going to give you an example. So my example for me is every morning when I have a cup of coffee in my hand, Bible in hand, that is where I feel most connected to the Lord. And for me, things that are keeping me away from the Lord is for sure school, because it's a lot. Okay, so now that you have those two things down, one, I want you to meditate on those, because I think that is extremely important in your life, recognizing these two areas of what are things that are keeping you from the Word and how are ways basically that you can continue on and just be in the Word. So really, the point I wanted to make out is you need to start taking time away from answers to your first question and adding that time on to answers in your second question. So for me, I spend a lot of time doing school, and that really takes away from my time in the Word. So I need to start doing less of school, and I need to be doing more quiet times in the morning where I get to sit there and be with God and constantly just praying with Him and reading my Bible. That's, for me, what I've been working on. And I mean, I go so far, I wake up at 6 o'clock usually just to make sure I have at least an hour of quiet time to spend with the Lord before I get my day started. And I'll tell you, if I don't know when yours is, but for me in the mornings, if I don't have my quiet time, I just don't feel as good during the day. I don't feel as connected to the Lord. Because when I start my day off just in fellowship with the Lord, my mind is just always on that, and it's just constantly thinking about Him, and that's an amazing experience that I've had since I've been doing my quiet times in the morning. But another point about that, I just wanted to emphasize that it does say this in the Bible. Joshua 1:8, and you can put it on the screen, I'm just going to read it real quick, says, "Do not let this book of law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." I mean, the Lord, or God, says that you need to be meditating and you need to be reading your Bible. And that is so important. And I'm out of the NIV. I guess I should have prerequisited that. But it shows how important it is to be in the Bible. And that if you do, I mean, it says you will be prosperous and successful by reading your Bible and praying. Like, that's blows my mind, honestly. So in doing that, you will not only grow in your relationship with Christ, but you will become more bold in proclaiming His Word. So this is really, I think, the main point that the Lord laid on my heart that day. And I labeled it as stepping out of our comfortability. I'll give you an example of what that's like for me. So with Young Life, I go to the school a lot. I can go during mornings, lunches. I can go in the afternoons. I've been to all of them. I can go to sports games or anything. So it takes a lot of courage and definitely for me stepping out of my comfortability to go to these kids at their school and talk to them. And these are kids, some of them I know now, but at first I had no idea who they were. I would just go up and be like, hey, I'm Caleb. I'd be like, hey, I'm Josh. Like, it's like, oh, and then I'd, you know, continue on the conversation, ask them questions. But like at first I was extremely uncomfortable with doing that because nobody wants to go up to a stranger and just ask them who they are and just try and develop a relationship with them or just talk to them and ask them questions. So there was this one time I was walking out of the school and there were a few eighth graders. I didn't know they were eighth graders at the time, but a few eighth graders just sitting there. And I went up to one of them. I was like, hey, what's up? My name's Caleb. And then he was like, hey, I'm Josh. I think his name was Josh. I'm just using Josh. And so I started to try and have a conversation or just like ask him a few questions. And he was just giving me like the most basic answers, blank face. He's like, yep. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. And I was like, okay, this guy does not want me being around him. And all his friends around him were just like laughing. It's like, who is this guy? Like, what is he doing? Like, that for me is very uncomfortable. But the thing is, in order for us to basically share the gospel, you have to step out of your comfortability. That is so important. And you have to be bold in proclaiming the word. You have to have courage. And by doing the things that I just listed, by being in your word, by praying, by fellowshipping with others, that will give you the boldness and courage to go and talk to people, to invite them to church, to just talk about God and their lives or how they're affecting them. Like, that is what you have to do. Another example real quick is the last club. I went to three clubs my first year, freshman year, and we actually had to do a skit. And so a skit is basically just a run-on, like where we just make up characters and we go up and we just perform as that characters. I had no idea what I'm doing. I didn't take drama class in high school. Like, I'm going up there. My name was John Hardy III was my character. And I'm basically improvising all of this. Like, I have no idea what I'm going to say. That, for me, was way out of my comfort zone because I've never done anything like that. And I don't feel comfortable doing that. It just turned out to be so awesome. And, like, it's so cool to look back and see, like, how I wasn't comfortable with that. But even after I did it, I was like, that was so cool. Like, let me do another one. Like, that's how cool it was, and that's how it should be. Turn with me to Matthew 28 and verse 18. A big thing that I believe and that the Lord really just puts on my heart is while we are here on this earth, you have to share the word. Like, if we're not, we are here to encourage people, brothers and sisters in Christ, to just fellowship and to come to church. But in order to advance God's kingdom, in order to bring more people to heaven, you have to share the word, which is one reason why I do Young Life, because it's an opportunity to go and share the word with kids. And so if you look at Matthew, 18, verse 18 and 20. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. My bad. But you can turn with me there if you want. But it's basically the Great Commission is what my Bible has, NIV. So Matthew 28, verse 18 says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" God is commanding his disciples, which we are his disciples, to go and share the good news, to share Jesus to these people. And I mean, if he's calling us to do that, you have to obey. Like, that's one part of just loving the Lord, is obeying what he has said for us in this Bible. I mean, he gave us a whole instruction book of how to live. And in order to do that, we have to obey His word. For example, that is why I'm up here today, is because I am obeying the Lord and how He placed this on my heart to preach or to just share this message with you. And that's why I'm up here. And I want to share the good news, the gospel, with kids that I do Young Life with. Like, that's why we're on this earth, I believe. And that's just a big emphasis, really, in my life and hopefully in other people's lives. Another thing to encourage you, Romans 1:16, I have it on here, I'm just going to read it. It says, this is Paul speaking, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. And that just goes along with having boldness and courage. You can't be ashamed of the gospel. You can't be scared of talking about God to other people. It just doesn't work like that. You have to be so courageous and so bold and just obey the Lord when He asks you to just do things and just to preach the good news. And yeah, so if Paul's not ashamed of the gospel, neither should we. We should not be ashamed of the gospel at all. I have a quick clip for you. This is just encouraging for, I don't know if you've seen We Bought a Zoo. This is for where this clip is from, but it is 20 Seconds of Courage is what it's called. So if you'll go ahead and cue that up for me, please.
What happened with you and Lily?
I don't know. I guess I didn't listen to something she told me or something. I mean, I liked her. It's like you embarrass yourself if you say something, and you embarrass yourself if you don't.
You know, sometimes all you need is 20 seconds of insane courage. Just literally 20 seconds of just embarrassing bravery. And I promise you, something great will come of it.
20 seconds of insane, embarrassing courage is all it takes to invite somebody to church. 20 seconds is all it takes to just strike up a conversation about the Lord. That's all it takes is 20 seconds. And I mean, Matt Damon said it himself. If you're not going to listen to one of the greatest actors of all time, I don't know who you'd listen to. And even if they don't want to start a conversation, like, what you did is you planted a seed in them. And maybe if you don't talk to them about it, they'll go and talk to other friends who go to church or who believe about it. And that, I mean, your job is accomplished there. Like, you planted that seed. You helped them realize something about God. And that's all He called you to do maybe at that time. Like, that's awesome. You're obeying the Lord in that. And you're being bold and courageous. 20 seconds of courage. And you have to realize also, this is big just for Young Life and kids, that when you're doing this, when you're talking to them about God, it's not your job to make them believe. You give them, like, the opportunity, but you just give them the tools to believe. God is the one who makes them believe. You are just helping them. You give them the opportunity to hear and process what you talked about. Or, for example, Young Life, we give kids the opportunity to hear and process the gospel. And that is all really that we can do. God does the rest. You pray God to soften kids' hearts so that they can accept and understand and develop a relationship with the Lord. That is what our job is. And that is what we can be doing constantly and always. While I was at summer staff, I did what they call the rules skit. So luckily for me, I got randomly selected to do this after, not randomly, my friend just forced me to do it. But so the rules skit is every week, we did it four times. And so basically there are four people who do it, and there are a few rules at any Young Life camp, and or any camp, obviously, but so it's at dinner time. It's at 7 o'clock at night, and you go up, and the people, the head leaders, will be talking. They'll be like, "All right, guys. So there's a few rules. Like, da-da-da-da-da, there's no smoking, you got to stay within the boundaries, and no fire. That's all the rules they said. Like, that's how crazy this camp is. But so what my job was I actually acted as a camper. So I, when they were talking about, I was on smoking. So when they were talking about smoking, it's like, yeah, no smoking. If you want to smoke, we have a smoker's pit, but like no vaping or juuling or anything. And so when they did that, they would say, and if you do this, there will be severe consequences. So me, acting as a camper, I am outside of the dining hall. I throw open the doors, and I'm like, smoking? Like, I love smoking. And then I'll just walk. So I'm getting these kids amped, you know. I'm telling them, like, hashtag vape nation. Like, I pop jewel pods for days. Like, these kids are going crazy. Like, I'm basically a rebellious teenager, a rebellious camper, that saying that I'll do whatever and whenever I want. So I'm walking, and then I walk over this way, and I walk on the stage. So on the stage, it's like you're walking over here on the stage, and right here there's like a ledge, and down here, luckily, whew, there's a pad, and I'll explain that later. But so I'm walking, I'm all this big, mean, bad teenager, and so I, you know, put my arms like this, and I'm looking this way, staring down some campers, you know, making them all nervous. You know, with these big muscles and everything, I'm going to say. But so I'm staring them down, and all of a sudden, there's music comes on. And I don't know if anybody's seen Here Comes the Boom or know that song. It's such a funny song. But so we have this thing called the camp linebacker. So it's this big, burly football player who comes out. It's so funny. I mean, I tried to find a video of this because me saying it does not do justice. But this football player comes out and just does some crazy things. One time, he takes two pitchers, one with water and one with tea in it. He takes them and just dumps them on his head and just, like, starts screaming. And it's just, like, kids go crazy for this stuff. And it just, it's so weird. I don't know why they do. But it's funny to see. And so he's doing that, and then all of a sudden he'll run on stage, and me over here, you know, I'm just chilling. I'm like, yeah, I'm all big and bad. And he'll come from all the way to the other side of the stage and just wreck me, like full out deck. And so all the kids after that just go crazy, because who doesn't want to see some kid just get demolished by a football player? Apparently that's all the rage. But so I did that. I was first to go up. And I can tell you, the first time I did that, boy, was I nervous. I was outside with my microphone just being, Lord, please just help me through this. You know, help me remember my lines. Like, I can do this. And, like, I was so nervous to go up there in front. I mean, this is in front of 400 kids every time. We did four times. And so we did that. Okay, yeah, we did that four times. And each time we did that, I got more and more and more comfortable doing it. And by the end, man, I was excited to get up there and just see all these kids go crazy. Like, at first, you know, I was just praying, like, Lord, just please help me get through this. Help me remember my lines. The last time, I was like, oh, baby, let's go. I'm ready to get wrecked today, you know. I'm just sitting there and walking out already. Yeah, let's go. I mean, it was awesome. I was excited. It was so fun. And my point for saying that is, when you do things repeatedly like that, when you, the more you are bold, the more you are courageous, the easier it gets. If you go out there and talk to people about the word, you invite people to church, you just be friendly. You show them what God's love is like, the easier it will become. And for the more excited you'll get to do it. I mean, I was excited by the end of doing it only four times. And that's only four times, and you can get it. If you're going and doing this, it can get you excited to go and talk to people, to invite people to church. And it's just anybody, coworkers, you know, people at a soccer game or a football game when you're going and watching and talking. Just people you randomly meet and strike up a conversation with. That's all it takes. And then, you know, your 20 seconds will end up being like 2 minutes, and you won't even have a problem with it. Like, oh, the more you do it, the easier it gets. I just want to make it clear that for the church, it doesn't matter how big the church is or how big the body is. We all have our own part to play, and we as a body can function together. All it takes is people boldly proclaiming God's word and advancing his kingdom. And by doing that, and by obeying the Lord in that, that is how the church can grow. And that's just, you know, an added bonus, an extra feature. Like, and that's awesome. I'm going to read real quick a few things out of this book. So I said it earlier, it's Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. by Jim Cimbala. This book changed my life by really helping me through prayer. I read this before I went to summer staff. I'm glad I did. And based on like this, I just got so much knowledge about prayer and just how to pray, how to effectively pray, and just seeing it firsthand what praying can do for everybody. And this, is, for example, is for the church. But in this book, it says real quick, going about just like the big church, it says, Jim says, God nowhere asks anyone to have a large church. He only calls us to do his work, proclaiming his word to people he loves under the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit to produce results that only he can bring about. The glory then goes to him alone, not to any denomination, local church, local pastor, or church-grown consultant. That is God's only plan, and anything else is a deviation from teaching of the New Testament. I mean, that's powerful, just to hear how people proclaiming God's word, that's what's important. That is what is important when we're talking about the church. And all it takes is just a few bold people to go out and do that. All it takes is 20 seconds, just insane courage to do that. A big motto we have at Young Life is that when you're going and talking to kids, this may be the only time they hear about the gospel. Like, God is placing us at a specific time, specific moment, specific reasons in these kids' lives to just be there for them and to help share the gospel. And God is doing that on purpose. He is purposely putting us there. God does that every day for each and every one of us. He puts us in a certain situation, a certain scenario, just to minister to people and to change people's lives and share that where you're able to share the gospel with them. And that is just so important that you are able to just be bold and be courageous in doing that and obeying the Lord. I know I've heard countless times of where, for example, my dad or Pastor Rob are like, you know, I heard the calling of the Lord, like I should have gone and done something, but I didn't. And look, you feel it, like it's not good. And you're in a way, you're disobeying God by not doing that. And there are consequences for that. I mean, not like crazy consequences, but you need to obey God in doing that. And God puts you in times where you are able to do that. And you just need to be obedient to him and always, always be listening and always be expecting to hear from the Lord in that. I'm going to read another section real quick from this book. Starts off by saying, God has never lacked the power to work through available people to glorify his name. When we sincerely turn to God, we will find that his church always moves forward, not backward. We can never back up and accommodate ourselves to what the world wants or expects. Our stance must remain militant, aggressive, and bold. God never, ever lacks the power to work through his people. He always will give you the strength to work, and just to be bold and courageous. God is our power source. Like, he is the one that supplies all our needs. He is the ones that can give us this boldness and this courageous. And one thing you can be doing about that is just praying about that and asking for the Lord to give you boldness and courage to go and just spread the good news and step out of your comfortability. All you have to do is make yourself available. All you have to do is have courage to be bold, to obey the Lord, and that is how we can just grow the kingdom. That is how just the church grows. That is how the kingdom of God grows. That is how we will see just an abundance of people in heaven. I mean, when you think about it, this life is temporary, what we have on earth. I believe it says in James that it's but a wisp in the wind. Like, this is a tiny amount of time. We live for eternity. So if we're not going out there and being courageous and bold and sharing the good news, then what are we doing on this earth? Like, that is our goal. That is what we should be doing. We should be trying to get people to just see how great God is and to have these people come with us to heaven. And I know once we get to heaven, like, we'll see how much that means, and like just to see people that you brought up and like showed Christ to, like that's going to be an amazing feeling. And it's just going to be so good to see. And it's just going to be so amazing and so exciting. Coming down to that, John 14:15 says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." That is why I'm up here today, is because I am obeying the Lord and what he asked me to do. And I hope all of you will just obey the Lord and what he is telling you to do, to stay in alignment with your assignment, to be about the Father's business. That is what we're called to do, is obey the Lord. And he has given, that's so important. And it's just something you need to always be thinking of and doing. New faces in this church, bigger groups to fellowship with, amazing and lively services with live music, a bigger kingdom of God, and many more great things all start with you. It all starts with the body of Christ, and you guys are a body of Christ. We all are part of the body of Christ. All you have to do is step out of your comfortability for God, and all these things can be accomplished. Thank you guys for letting me share today. I appreciate it. I love you all. And thankful for this opportunity to come up. And hopefully, if one of you guys got something out of it, then my job has been accomplished. And I'm just thankful for all of you. And I love you all.